Hey, what's up, guys? Derek Bros here in Morelia, Mexico, at the park, and I'm doing another walk and talk. Yep, I listened to you guys. You guys were all very encouraging across the different platforms, and told me you want some authentic connection. You don't want to just hear me talk about pedophiles and the pyramid of power and crypto or 5G or the Great Reset technocracy. You want to connect to me on a human level. Well, that's cool. I like connecting to other humans and keeping it real. And as I was saying in the last video, the conscious resistance, this whole idea of this movement, if you will, that I've been doing for the last decade of spirituality and anarchism and sovereignty and personal responsibility and self-ownership and all that good stuff. It's about being authentic and being real. And that's why, just as an example, last week on social media, for those who do follow me on social media, if you don't, I encourage you to. Especially I encourage you to follow me on Telegram, because on the Telegram channel, not only do I share the videos that you see on all my other platforms, but I share text posts, you know, I share audio messages, I share other articles that I'm reading, things like that. So if you only follow my videos, like on, especially if you're only watching on BitChute, because BitChute is the least dynamic platform, at least on Odyssey and Rockfin, I can upload articles, I can upload video, I can upload pictures and audio. So I can pretty much do everything. But with BitChute, you're only getting my videos. So I encourage you to follow me on Telegram, Twitter, Facebook, if you like. And one of the things I was posting about last week was that I went from, like, I started out my morning one of the days just feeling super pumped up, like, fuck yes, I'm about to get shit done, I'm super motivated, I'm almost done with my album, is 33, like I was telling you guys last week, so I'm like, I'm gonna finish that, we're almost done with season 3 of the Pyramid of Power, I'm about to start writing the update to my book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State, the post-COVID 1984 edition, which I'm excited about. And I was just like, fuck yeah, I'm getting everything done. I'm motivated, nothing could stop me. And then like literally 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour passed. And I just get hit by this fucking wave of like doubt and just, you know, self-doubt, self-hatred almost. It was like a really weird thing. It hasn't happened to me in a while, but it's the kind of shit that I used to deal with a lot when I was younger. And, you know, I talk about this in some of the Conscious Resistance Trilogy, and I've shared some of these stories, my struggle with, you know, addiction, depression, suicide, and self-worth, and all that good stuff. And it just, like, yeah, it hit me, like, with a wave, and all of a sudden I was just, like, feeling really down about myself. And so I shared on social media, and again, if you only watch videos, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But I basically just shared my feelings. It's like, whoa, man, life is crazy. I went from feeling super motivated, so now I'm feeling super like down on myself and doubting myself. And a lot of it had to do with my self-image, my self-worth. And I'm not going to get into that too much today. We'll talk about that on another one. But if you're interested, I'll put a link below to this essay I wrote called Stop Calling Me Skinny, or Dealing with Body Issues as a Man. And that's kind of what it relates to, my body issues, self-image issues and stuff. And yeah, it just popped up like it hadn't in a while, and it just like fucking was a huge weight on me, and it wore me down, and I had to go like lay down in bed for like 3 hours, which is usually what I do when I feel depressed. I just want to lay down. I don't want to do anything, you know. And it was just like, you know, Miriam gave me my space, and she came and, you know, saw me a little bit later, but I was just like, oh, sorry. Just got sucked into this black hole for a little bit. And, you know, I think it's important though to share that stuff and to be real and say, hey, you know what, sometimes I don't feel like amazing, spiritual, healed, all this stuff. Sometimes I feel like fucking angry, or I feel mad, or I feel doubtful. And yeah, being authentic is important. So now I got a couple things on my mind, two main things. Well, first off, let me tell you this. I'm filming this on Monday morning, and Miriam and I are in this beautiful park where we come to run, and I'm about to start running once I finish talking to you guys. But I've got two topics to share today, and then I got to rush to do an interview at noon. So it's like, you know, 45 minutes from now when I'm recording this, and then you guys will see it afterwards. But let me tell you the first thing. This morning, Monday morning, August 22nd, myself, the Conscious Resistance, and Ryan with The Last American Vagabond, we just released a two-part investigation that we called Justice Delayed. an investigation into Gordon B. Hinckley, who is a former president of the Mormon Church, and Walton Hunter, who is a former bishop in the Mormon Church. Both men are now deceased. And man, guys, I want you to go watch or read these articles, please. I put a lot of work into this. I've been working on these Utah investigations for the last couple months, but I've been working on this case for just about a month. And it really stems from the fact that as soon as I started to report on Utah and ritualized sexual abuse, people started sending me all kinds of stuff, especially related to the Mormon Church. And I was sent by a source this VHS tape of the documentary, The True Story of Mormon President Gordon B. Hinckley, which was played in like the early 90s, and it's never made it on the internet. It's pretty crazy. It's kind of rare. People think everything's on the internet. So sometimes it's like, oh my God, I found something that nobody's uploaded on the internet and maybe nobody's ever seen. So I took that and I started investigating it, and that led to my investigation. And so we just released that. It's two parts. There's also the full VHS tape of the documentary, The True Story of Gordon B. Hinckley. We published that. I uploaded that on all my channels this morning. Ryan and I are publishing this two-part investigation. And then, as I said, in just a little bit, at 12, I'm going to go do an interview with Ryan that will go even deeper into this. And then I'm also writing a blog on my website, The Conscious Resistance, which is kind of like a behind-the-scenes, here's how I came into getting the tape, and here's a little bit behind the scenes of how I did the research, for those who are curious about that. So that'll be published later this afternoon on theconsciousresistance.com. So, two investigation article, one behind-the-scenes blog, the mini-documentary that hasn't been seen by anybody in nearly 30 years, and then we've got a couple of more things we're going to be sharing that are going to be coming out soon as well. And I just want to say that, look, I know that your attention, the whole world is trying to fight for your attention. Pay attention here, buy this, listen to this, watch this, whatever, all this stuff, you know. So let me give you one more thing. If you can make time to read this two-part series, oh, cool, a snail. This two-part series, look at this, I love snails. Look at this, the Fibonacci spiral. Isn't that awesome? Kind of hard to see, but this dude is... I don't think there's anybody home. But you go to the website, read the articles. The articles cover my in-depth reporting about this VHS tape and then what I found out subsequently, including more witness testimony, including things that have never been seen, that have never been brought to the light. And I felt it was important. You know, some of you might be saying, well, who cares about the Mormon Church, Derek? We all know that churches are corrupted or religion's a tool for slavery for some people. And you're right. Or you say, who cares, Derek? These accusations are 25 years old, 30 years old. And, you know, what does it matter? Why do I care if these creeps were up to some stuff back in the day? And I get that sentiment. You know, everybody in the age of the internet and social media and everything's trending, we only care about whatever the hot new topic of the week is. And I guarantee you there's going to be something this week. There's always something in the conspiracy world. You'll notice that, like, just like the mainstream world has, here's the trending topic, talk about Will Smith and this and that or whatever else, the conspiracy community does as well. And there's always some new thing, like, oh, this week it's snake venom and this next week it's this thing. And, you know, it's just, there's always something. So I know there's a lot of stuff fighting for your attention, but please, please, please go read this article. This is actual investigative journalism. I spent the last month calling people, trying to track down sources, sending emails, phone calls, just digging in. I've watched hundreds of hours of all kinds of video. I mean, I've been digging up everything I can. And I'm not just talking about a simple Google search. I'm talking about actual journalism, tracking people down, verifying facts, trying to corroborate stories, not just putting out salacious details or clickbait, which is unfortunately a lot of the independent alternative media. People just say whatever the fuck they want, and they don't care if it's true or not, and some of you guys just lap it up and love it. So, I did a lot of real journalism for this, and I'm proud of it, and I'm thankful for it. Not only just because it felt good to do some real work and to have a source send me information and for me to be able to turn this into an investigation, but because, excuse me, these people still deserve a voice. And unfortunately, if you read the series, you'll see the man who provided some of this evidence, who is now dead, his name's Daryl Clegg, and he was worried about this information getting out while he was alive, so he asked that it not be released until after he died. Well, Daryl Clegg, I'm honoring his life and his attempt to get the truth out, by sharing this stuff now. There's also a woman, Deborah Hunter Marsh, who was the victim of her father's rapes. Walton Hunter, who was a bishop in the Mormon church and who's also dead now. I'm honoring her story and her sister's story and her grandchildren's story, who were all abused by this man, by writing about it and by reporting on it, because I don't think many people have ever heard of this or know about this. And my hope is that there, if there are more people who know more things or who have had experiences or seen things and maybe were afraid to speak up before, that maybe this will show you that somebody really does care about getting the truth out. And so I care. I'm going to keep trying to report on these truths. I hope you will, you know, share anything you have. Share this story, first of all. Share this video, share the articles, share the mini documentary. But if you've got information that you think needs to get out and you don't, you just feel like no one's listening, reach out to me. You can find me on my website, Derek@theconsciousresistance.com. Derek@theconsciousresistance.com. And yeah. So stay tuned to the Last American Vagabond website. That's where those articles are. Like I said, I got a brand new blog behind the scenes coming up on my website, and then interview coming up with Ryan. So that's that. Now the final thing I want to share for a few minutes, and I could probably do another video and talk longer about this where I'm sitting at my desk and can think a little more clearly, but let me just share my thoughts initially, and then I got to get to my run. It's time for me to get to my run. So recently, the documentary series, The Anarchists on HBO, which involves a lot of friends that I know and a couple of clips of me in there, it finished the six episode run on HBO. And I want to shout out to Todd and Kim, I believe, the actual filmmakers, the documentary makers that were out there filming, interviewing everybody. I don't know them personally, but I definitely know we crossed paths, and I think at Nathan's funeral and some other stuff, we communicated, and yeah. There's a lot of ways to go about this. I got friends who think that the whole HBO documentary is a psyop in order to set up voluntarists and anarchists and make people look stupid and this and that. I think there's probably some potential of that. There's also people who, you know, are not even part of the movement. And let's say they're more like left-leaning anarchists, and they're like, these aren't real anarchists, you know, and there's that kind of response. And I think, again, they're not entirely wrong. A lot of the people associated with Anarchapulco and the so-called freedom, liberty, voluntarist movement, they might like the philosophies, but they don't necessarily live it. You know what I mean? It's hard for me. I've never really understood this, how you can claim to be an anarchist and be a cop, or be an anarchist and work for the government, or be an anarchist and pay taxes. But not here to judge or attack anybody. I don't want to play the no true Scotsman, no true anarchist game. But so there's some people who take that approach. They think the whole HBO thing was just a psyop designed to make us look bad. Other people are like, those aren't real anarchists. This is designed to make quote-unquote real anarchists look bad. There's people in the movement who are like, this is great. This is the best thing that we could ever ask for. It's, you know, it's showing who we are, and people are clearly communicating the message. And yeah, so those are some of the takes. And then there's like my friend Howard Lickman, shout out to Howard, and much love to you, Howard, although I disagree with your take, who like really think it's like a deep conspiracy where the CIA was involved in bringing cocaine into Anarchapulco and several of the people involved. And, you know, he has questions about Jeff Berwick and Luke Rutkowski, which, you know, I think are fair questions. I've never trusted Jeff. And for those who have no idea what I'm talking about, the HBO documentary, The Anarchist, it's 6 episodes. Go check it out if you want. The first episode, I think, is the best. The rest of it is all just about drama focused around Lily Forrester, who also lives here in Morelia, and Jason Henza, who is a friend, you know, and Nathan and Lisa Freeman, who are also friends, and then Jeff Berwick, who is not a friend. And so I know a lot of the people involved. And I was a speaker from in Anarchapulco from 2017, 2018, 2019. And it was in 2019 when Jessica Kill took over, when Jeff gave her the conference, as they show in the documentary, that Jeff tried to fight me 2 times. And I've talked about this. For those who are new to my channel and don't know anything about this history, I did a video, I'll put it in the links below, called My Thoughts on the Drama, the Anarchapulco 2019 Drama. And I show all the emails between myself and Jeff and show how Jeff is a liar and a piece of shit. And, you know, he always claims he's done this new method of healing or taken some new ayahuasca or stuck something up his butt or did hypnotism or this and that. It's called spiritual bypassing. It's when people, they try all the different modalities, usually because they've got the money or the time, but they're not actually healing. It's like another way of avoidance, actually using spirituality to avoid things. It's kind of tricky. The ego works like that. But Jeff is a human, as far as I know, and I, you know, I'm not here to bash him. I don't trust him. I want nothing to do with him. I will never work with him or for him or associate with him. That's why I stopped going to Anarchapulco. But beyond that, I mean, they do a great job, I think, in episode 4, 5, and 6 of the documentary, showing how Nathan Freeman, who I think was more connected to the community and had the heart and the spirit of the activist, anarchist, freedom, voluntarist community and actually knew the people, they pushed him out of the way in order to bring in Jessica Kill. I mean, come on, the name alone, I don't know. But besides the name, Jessica Kill, who worked with the Obama administration, has pictures with Joe Biden and Obama, and used to work in corporate, you know, Hollywood kind of background. Why would you want to bring somebody like that? And they say, well, because it's a business decision. Nathan may have been good for the community, but he wasn't running things right, and so we need a professional to come in and shape things up, right? Okay, it's not my business, not my place to say or whatever, but that's sketchy as fuck. And I don't have all this evidence that Howard claims to have. All I know is that my personal experience is that so many people that you know and love, just go look at who spoke at Anarchapulco 2019. I'm not going to name names, maybe one day I will, but a lot of the people you know and love were being treated like shit by Jessica Kill, and I was the only one that was willing to speak up. And I'm not trying to boost my ego. I'm saying literally, I went and posted in the Anarchapulco group on Facebook and said, hey, why are we letting this woman who's from outside of the community treat the speakers like shit and make it so rigid and corporate and all this stuff? And Jeff emailed me and basically told me, fuck off, you're uninvited from the conference. And eventually I was allowed to speak, as long as I didn't talk about Jessica or the whole incident. But like I said, Jeff ended up trying to fight me 2 times anyway. So my point here is that I wasn't the only one being treated like shit. I was just the only one willing to speak up. And I'm saying a lot of big names that you know and follow were unwilling to speak up because they told me, well, it's going to create drama. Let's not cause drama. It's going to divide the movement. It's going to do this and that. And I hate that shit more than anything. So I chose to speak up, and I wanted nothing to do with Anarchapulco after that. I started to hear more and learn more about Jeff Berwick and the scams he's been involved and the lies and all kinds of things. And I just don't think he's the kind of person I want to associate with. And that's up to everybody to make their decisions. It could be deeper than that. Jeff could be a drunk who has been associated with different scams. He could have been brought in, you know, he could have been, you know, made as an informant for the FBI or anybody. I'm just totally speculating here. I have no proof of this. I'm just saying those possibilities exist. And think about this. At one point, the Anarchapulco was the biggest freedom conference in the world. 1,500 plus people. It's no longer that. Jeff and Jessica killed it. And that's kind of my point. If you have this biggest freedom conference in the world that's bringing people from all over the world, speakers at the highest caliber, reaching so many people and creating this really awesome, powerful energy and community, why wouldn't the powers that wish they were come in and try to destroy that? Why wouldn't they send in a Jessica Kill corporate person from a White House background into to try to disrupt things? I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. And again, I say that without evidence. I'm just saying, think logically. If there's no other freedom movement. I mean, there's movements in different parts of the country, different parts of the world, but generally speaking, you know, Anarchapulco and now the Greater Reset, because I think the Greater Reset is actually the spiritual successor to the best parts of Anarchapulco. Take out the scams and the drama. Literally, everybody calls it Dramapulco. And you have community thriving, flourishing. And that's what the Greater Reset is here in Morelia. We're doing it in January 2023, the Greater Reset 4 co-creation. Everybody who is peaceful, freedom-loving, drama-free people are welcome. And yeah, so I mean, as far as the documentary goes, I think production-wise, it's well-made. They tell a story. It sucks that HBO and places like that probably only want to hear about the freedom anarchist movement if it has a lot of drama, because that's what the whole series is about, drama. Instead of like, wow, look at these brilliant ideas being exchanged and these strong arguments and this discussion of how we could have a better world. Instead, it kind of ends on this note where like, well, the whole experiment fell apart. Lily leaves Acapulco. Lisa leaves Acapulco. Jeff's event shrank by 70%. You know, oh, the whole freedom movement's over. No, it's not. That's my main criticism, is that the way that they frame it, the filmmakers, this is definitely where I think you could have done better. They frame it as if Jeff and Anarchapulco were the center of the freedom movement or the libertarian movement or the anarchist movement or the truth movement or anything. They're not. They never were. Yes, Anarchapulco was a huge event and it brought a lot of people together, but it definitely was never the movement. And Berwick was never the head or anywhere near the head of any kind of movement at all. And anybody who came in person found that out quickly. Like, oh, they came to Acapulco. They're thinking there was all this community and connection that Berwick likes to promote and pretend on the internet. But that's not what Acapulco really was like. And there's, that doesn't mean, though, that all the anarchists left. Since I've come the last 2 years, there's more anarchists here now, freedom-seeking people, than there ever have been. And part of it is because of COVID, not because of Derek Bros or Jeff Berwick, because of COVID-1984. There's people all over this country. And so no matter what happens with Acapulco, there's Mexicans, expats, indigenous people here building, trying to create community, intentional communities, eco-villages, in the city, in the countryside, by the beaches, in the mountains, all over this beautiful country. So just because Acapulco has lost its luster, and I definitely don't support it or endorse it in any way, and just because Berwick has been exposed, hopefully now more of you see who he really is, doesn't mean the freedom movement is over, or the truth movement, or anarchist movement. And don't, I hope nobody takes that away from that documentary. But yeah, all right guys, that's it. I gotta go run, and I gotta do this interview. So till next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, you are free. Peace.